Now, give their mom $2 million so they can buy Starbucks. That's what I'm talking about. That is awesome. Yep, that's so good. Well, good morning once again. So good to be back with you. I was out last week at a retreat, pastor's retreat. It was a great time away, but man, I'm so glad to be back with my church family on this Mother's Day Sunday. You know, normally, if you're a True Norther, you know that we're working through books of the Bible. We've been working through the book of Romans for about 8 or 9 weeks now, but today we're gonna do something a little bit different. Every once in a while, I feel like the Lord just puts something on my heart to share with my congregation, with my people, and I think today is a really appropriate day for me to talk about something that I feel like I've been burdened with, if I'm gonna be honest, for a couple of years now, as I've kind of watched our culture and just seen kind of what's happening in our culture in people's lives. And so here's what I want to begin with today. And this isn't exactly maybe the Mother's Day message you might have been expecting to hear, but I need you to hear this today. There is a war going on right now for the souls of humanity. And it is grave. It's dire. Whether we realize it or not, do you realize this? Every single day, there is an enemy, and he is out to destroy your life. He does not want to see you thrive. He does not want to see you have a relationship with Jesus Christ and be set free in the gospel. He does not want to see your marriages healthy. He does not want to see you have a good relationship with your children. He does not want to see you thriving in your job with your coworkers. He wants to destroy everything about your life. And I think here's the trap that we fall into, particularly maybe here in the United States of America, where we really are pretty affluent. We've got it pretty easy in a lot of ways. It's so easy to get lulled into this like false sense of security, like everything's good. Meanwhile, there is a spiritual war going on. There's spiritual warfare going on right now as we speak. There is an enemy who is speaking lies into our life, trying to draw us away from the abundant life that God created you for. And I'm looking around at our culture, I'm looking around at the world, and I'm watching how Satan is working, and it's just sometimes I'm like infuriated by it. If I'm being totally honest this morning, I watch it happening in my own life sometimes, and I'm like, Justin, what are you doing? Pay attention, wake up. There's a battle going on, and it's been going on. This is what I thought about this week as I was prepping this. This has been going on since day one. Think about this with me. What is Satan's primary strategy? It is to destroy relationships. Relationships are the most important thing to God. First and foremost, it's to destroy our relationship with Him. He wants to destroy our relationship with our Heavenly Father. Look back at the Garden of Eden. Let's go back to the very beginning. What did Satan do? How did he drive a wedge between Adam and Eve and their Heavenly Father? He looked at them and said, "Did God really say, you can't eat from any tree in the garden?" It's a complete lie. God never said that. God allowed them to eat from any tree in the garden except for one, just one. Satan twisted it around and said, he said, you can't eat from any of these trees, none of them. God wants to restrict you. He wants to kill your joy. He wants to steal all of your fun. He drives that wedge in there. He says, God's not good. Why would you follow him? He's been doing this since the very beginning and he's still doing it today. Then what was his second approach? What was his second attack? He drives a wedge between Adam and Eve, doesn't he? He gets in the middle of their marriage. He gets them blaming each other for what happened there at the tree, doesn't he? She's blaming him and he's blaming her. And it's still going on today. He's still using the same tactics. And yet I feel like even though we know this, especially those of us in the room who are followers of Jesus, we've read our Bibles, we know this. And yet it's like, we're just kind of rolling along in this life, not paying any attention to it. And so today I want to bring attention to it. Why? Because I love you. because you're my people. And I don't want to see that happening in your life. And so we got to talk about this. Every once in a while, we've got to just get down to like what's happening in our hearts and our culture, right? And really get to the bottom of this issue. And so one of the great burdens I've been feeling, I think for several years now, something I've been praying about, you can ask my staff, you can ask our elders. One of the things I've been praying for are families, not only at True North Church, but families in our community. Because I so believe the family is under attack. It's been under attack for a very long time. And when I look around at families, and again, my family is succumbing to this sometimes. You know what I'm seeing? I'm seeing people burned out, stressed, full of anxiety, overworked, priorities completely out of whack, consumed with worldly success. And that's not just true for families. I think that's true for single people in the room as well, individuals in this room. There's an epidemic going on. And the truth is, Satan rarely destroys a person or a family with one big, huge move, does he? And this is why he's so good at what he does and why we're so easily susceptible to it. He dismantles us. One little thing at a time, right? It's a slow drift. It's a slow fade. He uses distraction. He uses deception. He uses division to slowly drift us away. And that should wake us up. That should make us look around and go, where's he maybe trying to do that in my life? And so I want to take a few minutes today and I want to preach on this. And I want to challenge us to really kind of open our eyes this morning. To be open to looking at your own life and examining your own life and seeing where our enemy might be trying to do this in your own life. And the ultimate goal of this is not to bring the problem to light. The ultimate goal is to share the solution to this problem. Because there is a solution. One that is tried and true and has the power to transform our lives. So that's what I want to look at today. Now in Ephesians chapter 5, the Apostle Paul gives some instructions. If you've ever read the book of Ephesians, he gives instructions on how to have a healthy marriage, what that looks like. He gives some instructions on what it looks like to be a healthy parent, have healthy parenting relationships, how children are supposed to interact with their parents. He even gives instruction on what it looks like to have healthy relationships in your job, with your bosses, with people who are in authority over you. Right? He kind of paints this broad picture of this. And then he goes into something that I want to go into today, that I want to look at today, the very end of Ephesians. In Ephesians chapter 6, he closes out with this warning, with this instruction, if you will. And I want us to see this today because we can have all of the tools necessary to have healthy relationships, to be thriving in our relationships, to make sure Satan isn't getting in there and wedging himself in between us. But if we don't understand this, what we're going to read this morning, it won't matter. Let's read this together. We're going to read from Ephesians chapter 6, starting in verse 10. Look at what he says. He says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand." He says, "Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people." And so Paul begins his closing of this letter to the Ephesians with this. Look at what he says. He says, finally. finally, right, he's looking back at everything he's just taught the Ephesian church, and he's saying, listen, in other words, I want you to have great marriages. I want you to be great parents. I want you to have great relationships. But you have got to hear this. You have got to recognize something here. The main battle that you are facing every day in every one of your relationships is not against flesh and blood. They are not the enemy. There is a spiritual battle going on. Wake up. Open your eyes to that. You have to see this. That battle, he says, I love this, cannot be fought on our own strength. Look at what he says. Finally, be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. You can't fight this battle on your own. There's a reason why so many people are failing in that battle. Because you're trying to white knuckle your way to solving the problems. You're trying to fight on your own power. Paul says we can't do that. He says, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. And then he goes into this. He specifically calls this out. He says, what are we fighting against? I want us to see this here. We are fighting, he says, against the schemes of the enemy. Look at this. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against what? The devil's schemes. The devil's schemes. Why? For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Our struggle is not the physical world we live in, but the spiritual forces of darkness, he says. That word schemes, in the original language, it brings to mind a systematic plan. That's important for us to understand today. Satan is not just out there, like kind of wandering around, stumbling around, going, oh, you know, maybe I can get this guy today or this lady today. No. He is systematically looking at us, humanity as a whole. He knows our weaknesses. He knows what tempts us. He knows specifically, individually. He's got his demons. He's got his minions out there doing recon to try to figure out what's gonna make this one fall. And he's gonna come at us with everything he's got, and he's gonna specifically target us. We all know this, right? You know this. I don't have to tell you this for you to know this. There are certain things in your life, aren't there, that you're more tempted by than others. There are for me. There's certain things in my life I know, man, oh, that's a way that Satan loves to get in there and just do damage. He's scheming. Not only is he scheming against us, I believe personally, individually, he's also scheming on a macro level. He's pumping out lies and ideologies and all different kinds of agendas into our world to make us believe certain things, to get us distracted from the truth. He is the father of lies. That's what the word of God says. He's so crafty. And one of the things I've been thinking a lot about for me, for myself, my own family, is the most dangerous schemes aren't the ones that are the most evil looking, right? Especially if you're a follower of Jesus, like we kind of recognize those, don't we? We recognize the big schemes, the big agendas that are like obvious. Those aren't the ones that are most dangerous to us. It's the subtle ones. It's the ones that look normal. It's the ones that just seem like, hey, this is just what we do. This is just how we live. That are actually the most dangerous, right? Satan, this is the imagery that came to me this week. He doesn't march at us revolutionary war style, right? He's not lining two, you know, armies up and just coming straight at us where you can see everybody, you know exactly what's coming. No, it's guerrilla warfare with Satan. He's doing everything he can to be as sneaky as possible so that you have no idea what he's up to until it's too late. And so I thought about just a couple of things. I mean, there's so many things, but like, what are the things I'm seeing in my own life? And what are the things I'm seeing in our culture right now? And these are just examples. I think there are many, many more, but these are the ones that came to my mind this week. How is Satan doing this? Here's two schemes I think he's using in our culture. Number one, busyness. Busyness, man. We got no margin. We're so tapped out. And when you really think about the insanity of that, like we have made life so easy in a lot of ways, right? I think back 150 years ago and the work that they had to put in just to survive a day. Like we do in many ways, like we've created so many things to be more efficient and make our lives easier. And yet, does anybody else think this is insane? We're more busy than ever. Like that's crazy to me, right? And so here's the mindset that Satan has. You've probably heard this before. Satan doesn't have to make you bad. He just has to make you busy. He just has to get you so focused on all the other things in life that you take your eyes off of him, off of Jesus. You take your eyes off of God. You neglect your relationship with him. You don't go to the source of where peace and joy and contentment and wisdom and all the things, good things that God has for you are found. Busyness, sports, activities, work, right? And what is it doing to us? What's it doing to our relationships? There's very little time for meaningful conversation. There's very little time for spiritual formation in our lives. There's very little time for rest. Anybody else in this room? Come on, let's be honest. Let's do a test right now. Anybody in this room tired by life right now? Come on, am I the only one? Wow, I'm amazed. Like we are a tired people and it's not just physically tired. I think we're emotionally tired. I think we're mentally tired because we're running ourselves ragged because we don't ever slow down. And then what little margin we do have, here's what we do. Come on now, what do? Get on the phone, scroll, 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 turn on the Netflix show, get on a video game, find ways to digitally distract ourselves. Man, I feel so convicted by this. I fall into this trap all the time, right? And so we digitally entertain, but what does it do? It doesn't feed our soul, does it? Doesn't feed mine. I end up just feeling it's a temporary fix. It's a Band-Aid on a bleeding artery. And then I just need more. And I got to go back for another fix, right? To feel that sense of, you know, I'm trying to get peace. I'm trying to get calm in the midst of the chaos, right? And what I want us to hear this morning is this. None of these things are bad, are they? They're not bad in and of themselves. But when they become the thing that squeezes out better, it's a problem, right? They're all good things. I'm glad I have a cell phone. I'm glad for that technology. I'm glad I have a television. I'm glad for that technology. It's not a bad thing. But when it squeezes out better, oh man, it's trouble. And so busyness, he's making us busy. He's crushing our margin. There's no time for anything that really matters anymore. And then the second one is this. False security. False security. I've already talked about this a little bit, but we live, I feel like, in the cushiest society in the history of the world. Whether we want to admit it or not, we are rich. We are. Life in many ways is incredibly easy, right? We can order food and have it at our doorstep in 15 minutes. You can order a package on Amazon and have it to your house the next day. Like we do live in this world where we kind of have it all in a lot of ways. And here's the result of that. Here's what that's doing to our spirit. And I don't think we stop and think about this enough. The result is a society that thinks, hey, we've got everything. What do I need God for? God just kind of gets squeezed out. What in the world do I need him for? And yet we all know this. We all know it's a lie. Why? Because in spite of all that stuff, in spite of the ease of everything that we have, so many of us still feel this void inside. There's an emptiness that pervades people in spite of all that. And I feel that some days. Like there's some days I'm sitting there on the couch and I'm wondering, why do you still feel this emptiness sometimes? Because none of that stuff was made to fill the hole that is inside of your heart. Doesn't matter how much stuff you have, right? And so I want us to just, here's the only reason I'm bringing that stuff up. I'm not here to have a war on the culture today. That's not my goal. I just want us to recognize these are absolutely some of Satan's schemes. Make no mistake about it. He's using these things. He's speaking lies into our life to believe things that are not true so that it will pull us away from our Father, from our Heavenly Father. And so what does Paul say is the answer to those schemes? Let's look at this. He says, therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. In short, here's what Paul says. Folks, you got to armor up. You got to armor up. And what's amazing is the armor is right there. It's right at our fingertips. If we were sitting in a room getting ready to go out for battle, it's sitting there in the corner, just waiting for us to pick it up and put it on. And what do we do most days? This is what I do. I don't need it. I'm going to walk out of here. I'm going to go out into battle without it. And I'm telling you right now, that's a tragic mistake. We need to armor up, not just once, but every single day. We need to put on, he says, the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, and let me tell you right now, we are living in a day of evil. The day of evil is every day. Every day we step out of our house and we walk into this world, we are facing evil. Make no mistake about it. He says, most of us are going into battle every day without protection. And so what is this spiritual armor that we need to put on? Let's look at this. He says, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Now, I've read this many times before. I've preached on this before, but as I was studying this out this week, something hit me differently that I just never fully grasped and never fully understood. I look at all of these pieces of armor, right? Truth, righteousness, peace, faith, salvation, the word, every one of these things, when you actually start get down to the brass tacks here, they're all rooted in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Every single one of these things. All of them. Look at this with me here for a second. Every piece of armor is actually rooted in the gospel, right? It is gospel truth that combats the lies of our enemy, telling us every single day, you're not enough. You need to go and achieve more to feel valuable and to feel worth something. If you don't, God's going to reject you. Lies. It is the gospel that tells me who I am. It is the gospel of Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection on the cross, me placing my faith in him as my savior and knowing my eternity is secure. Nothing can ever take that away. And I have an inheritance waiting for me in heaven one day when I go to meet my heavenly father. That is the truth. Stop believing the lie, Justin. It's not just gospel truth though. Look at this. It's gospel righteousness. You know what gospel righteousness does? It combats pride. It says, I'm not righteous because of what I've done. I'm righteous because of what he's done. And now, because I'm no longer working my way to salvation, I'm no longer working so hard to look good to God, I can just do good because of what he's already done in me. Gospel righteousness, right? It's gospel peace that combats anxiety. And I'm talking about all these things here, right? Lies, pride, anxiety. These are all things I think we're all dealing with on a daily basis. Gospel peace combats anxiety. That anxiety that says like, am I really going to be taken care of? Am I really secure in this job? Do we have enough money? What about my health? What about this relationship? The gospel brings peace to those situations. It reminds us we are loved so deeply, that God has made promises to us. He has a plan and a purpose for our lives, and he's got it. There's a peace that comes from that. Gospel faith combats fear. Faith, right? He says, take up the shield of faith. Anybody else in this room feel afraid sometimes? I do. And what is it that combats that fear? It's faith to know God's got it. I can trust him. He's never let me down. He's never failed me before. And he's not gonna fail me now. It's gospel salvation, right? That combats doubt. So many people walking through this world right now doubting, am I really good? Am I really saved? And that's one of Satan's biggest lies that he wants to speak into your life. Doubt God. Doubt the cross. Doubt the work that Jesus did. It wasn't enough. Oh, yes, it is. It's enough. Finally, the helmet of salvation and the word, or the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. It is the word, this thing that we open regularly on Sundays, that hopefully you are engaging in throughout the week, studying the word of God. Every part of it from start to finish is pointing to the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's all the story of his redemption of humanity. I need that reminder every single day. And then I need that word of God to be implanted in my mind and my heart every day to stand firm against the lies of the enemy. This is the armor of God, and it's all rooted in the gospel. And so here's what I want you to hear today. How do we ultimately stand against the schemes of the enemy? Yeah, there's all these pieces of armor, but it really comes down to one thing. The gospel. Shocker, right? It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's how we stand against the devil's constant schemes. And I want you to see this morning. Do you know what Satan's greatest scheme is? It's to get us to doubt the goodness of the gospel. That's his greatest scheme. It's actually the scheme that drives all of his other schemes. Right? The busyness, the false security, whatever other schemes he's working on, it's really a way to say, you need to put your focus on those things and take your eyes off of the goodness of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about for him. It's the lie, right? The lie that he's not the answer. You can find salvation in yourself. You can fix yourself. You can fix your brokenness with a little bit more money and another vacation and another binge watch of that show that you love. You can fix that. It's all a lie. Only the gospel can do that. Only the gospel can bring true joy, peace, and fulfillment in your life. You can't find it in achievement. You can't find it in money or power or any other pleasure. You see, the reason that we chase those things is because we believe they will give us what only the gospel can actually give us. And so if Satan can just keep pumping that lie, keep getting us to go back to it over and over again, he can keep us from really beginning to experience the fullness of a relationship with God that he desires to have with each of us. And so we must grasp this in our heart, where the source of our power to fight actually comes from. I'm telling you right now, it's the gospel. I've never felt so strongly about that. I've been a pastor for 20 years. Been following Jesus for much longer than that. And I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's because I'm midlife now and my kids are growing up and I've seen a lot. But the gospel has never been more real to me and more powerful to me than it is right now. And I pray that it only becomes more and more the older I get. And so I share all of that with you to say, this gospel, it is the answer to everything. Everything. That's not hyperbole. That's not an exaggeration. It's the answer for everything. And I want my people, you, my people, my church family, to so deeply understand and know and love the gospel that it just transforms every part of your life. Because it will. When that becomes the driving force of our life, it changes everything. And so finally, Paul says this. He says, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions. He gives this armor. He says, armor up. Then pray, he says, in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Guys, prayer is what activates, continually activates the power of God in your life. And I'm convinced of this. One of Satan's greatest schemes is to make us so busy we have no time to pray. I'll squeeze it in later in the day. We get to the end of our quiet time or devotion time in the morning. It's like, I ran out of time. No time to pray. I'll get to it tomorrow. I'm telling you right now. You want to see God's power begin to work in your life in a new way? You want to see yourself begin to stand against those schemes in a new way? Start praying more. Start praying. It's what activates the armor on a daily basis. And I've been feeling so convicted about that. I'm not praying enough. I'm not spending enough time with the Lord. Start to pray. This is what Paul says. Pray in the Spirit on all occasions for everything, he says, with all kinds of prayers and requests. And be alert, he says, right? He says, be alert. That means constantly be on your guard through the power of prayer. Connecting with your Heavenly Father. So I want to move into just the closing of this message and the application for each of us. We're under attack. I think we've made that clear this morning. That's the problem. We are under attack. The solution is the gospel of Jesus Christ. My question to you is this. I've given you the problem. I'm telling you what the solution is. Do you believe that though? Do you actually believe that? We come to church. We do the Sunday thing. We do life groups. Maybe we read our Bible. Do you believe that the gospel is the answer to everything? Is it changing you from the inside out? That's my question. I was at this retreat this week. I told you that already. We spent, on one of the days we were there, we were given 2 hours. Some of us would lose our minds if we had to do this. 2 hours, go be in silence. You can take your Bible with you if you want, but you're not doing anything else. Don't take your phone, nothing. And so it's me and my Heavenly Father and the Word of God, and I'm sitting there and I'm reading the I Am statements. And I come across this text. It says, then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. And whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Can I tell you right now? I read that and I immediately knew, Justin, you're starving right now. You're starving. Because you're trying to feed on things that will never make you full. And even as a pastor, you can fall into the temptation to be about building a church or whatever other achievement you're trying to achieve. And I thought to myself, I can't be the only one. I can't be the only one. We are living in a world where people are starving. And we think our job or that achievement or that education or even that relationship is the bread of life. And it's not. None of those things are the bread of life. None of those things will leave you feeling full for all time. Only the good news of the gospel. Jesus says, whoever comes to me, can we just believe this promise today? Will never be hungry and never thirst again. I don't know about you, but I'm sick and tired of feasting on Twinkies and Mountain Dew when God is offering me steak and potatoes that will fill me and truly sustain me? I'm tired of it. And I'm tired of looking around and watching the world that we live in do the same thing and thinking they're gonna get a different result. And so that's why I'm up here and I'm preaching this so passionately this morning. I feel like God is just wrecking my own soul with this. And I wanna see him do it in yours too, in the best way possible. I'm tired of being hungry, and the gospel is the answer. The gospel is the answer. And so this morning, I could sit here and I could tell you, you know what? You need to make more quiet time for you and Jesus. And I could tell you, you need to make church more of a priority. Commit to being here every Sunday. I could tell you, share the gospel more. Make sure you're living out your faith in the world. Make sure you're discipling others. I could tell you all of those things, but you know what I'd be doing? I'd be telling you, change your behavior. And I think everybody in this room knows this. You might do it for a couple of days. You might do it even for a couple of weeks. But if our motivation to do those things is not because Jesus Christ has done an incredible work in our heart and changed our heart, it's just a behavior change. And Christianity, following Jesus, it's not a behavior modification religion. It's not what it's about. It's not about us doing more. And I want you to hear that today. It's about us surrendering more to him and letting him have his way in our life and letting him be the one that brings us our sense of fulfillment. That's what it's about. And once you truly know that, that is when you will see transformation in your life. That is when we will see families and relationships and marriages and parents and all of the things restored. That's when we will. And so I want to read this to you one more time, this verse. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Church, let's be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. In the mighty power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Can I challenge you to do this? This one thing? Every day, pray the gospel over your heart and your family. Remind yourself of the goodness of the gospel every single day. Remind yourself that is who you now are. It's not in some achievement. It's not in some pleasure. It's in him. And that is where your joy is ultimately going to be found. And if you've never heard that before, you've never understood the gospel before, man, today is the day. Make today the day. Stop trying to fill yourself up on Twinkies and Mountain Dew. I'm telling you right now, Jesus is offering a filet mignon. It's the greatest meal you will ever partake in, and it will fill you forever. If you want that, we would love to come alongside of you, and walk with you, help you understand what that looks like, what that ultimately means for your life.